Welcome to PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm joined today once again by Anthony Bongiorno. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm happy to be having this episode, and it feels somehow overdue. But it was your idea, not mine, and people would assume it's my idea.
Yeah, it was my idea, and I think it's something that we've alluded to many times, but we've never devoted an episode to, so it's about time.
So we're going to talk about Ghostbusters Answer the Call, which is its actual name.
Question for you, right out the gate. I watched it today.
Yeah.
The title card at the beginning just says Ghostbusters, but I noticed that at the end it says Answer the Call. Was that added after, or was that in the theatrical release?
That was in the theatrical release, but...
So it's like a hint at a subtitle, sort of?
Yeah, yeah. Fans now call it Answer the Call.
Which is a bad subtitle.
Well, I think it was... The reason why it's not like in the beginning is I think it's just there for like the Library of Congress. Like, I think it's just there to differentiate it. But people still just call it Ghostbusters 2016 or something more
horrible. Lady. Yeah. The Lady Ghostbusters.
But now you'll see like fans be like, what's better, Answer the Call or Afterlife? I went to a screening of the original Ghostbusters at Alamo, and you think this is Ghostbuster fans, and they showed something of the 2016 one. People like made a negative reaction to it, and I think I don't want to be in the fandom with you if this is the way you feel.
This movie, it's so weird.
It's almost, I almost want to say, like, this movie's not good or important enough for you to have these feelings.
I know.
It's good, but it's, like, not any hill that anyone should die on.
It's so weird, and I often think now that we're, like, 6 years out, like, was it a product of its time? Was it because it was in 2016 alongside the election? And, I mean, Paul Feig himself seemed to attribute its low, like, its hatred to, like, the rise of Donald Trump
The time. It is hated.
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 Like, the vitriol from people that you would think are normal people.
Right.
Like, simply because they are women, Ghostbusters.
Right.
That's it.
Right. Right.
And I love that they nod to it in the movie when they're reading the comments. Right. And it's like, ain't no bitches, busting no ghosts.
Yeah, I always wonder, like, does that come... Did they film that after?
I think so.
Because when the trailer for Ghostbusters 2016 hit YouTube, it became the most downvoted thing in YouTube history.
It's just like, it's one of those things that like reminds you that like misogyny is the water we swim in.
I know. But you know what? I almost don't want to spend too much time on that because I actually just want to talk about the film and its merits and think of it as a film.
Can we do a discussion though of it versus Afterlife?
Of course. Okay. Absolutely. Oh yeah.
I have some interesting data.
Okay. Absolutely. So Ghostbusters 2016 was directed by Paul Feig, written by Paul Feig and Katie Dippold. She also wrote The Heat, which is a good Paul Feig movie.
She's great.
When I saw this in 2016, I was very excited about it because I'm a Ghostbusters fan. And I liked it when I saw it. I didn't love it, but I liked it. I thought some of the jokes didn't land.
Mm-hmm.
And so I never like was a hater of it. But I just went back and watched it like a month or so ago with Jen. And we were both like, wow, this is way funnier than we remember it being.
Yeah, it is.
I think one of the things, again, if we could move aside from like obvious misogyny, one of the things that I think turns people off maybe or fans off is it's a very different tone from the original. Like the original has silly comedy in it. Like if you look at Rick Moranis' character, he's very silly, right? But this has a more contemporary, like we're improvising kind of Anchorman type of thing. Like compare the scenes in both the original and the 2016 of them being kicked out of academia. In the original, it's like a snooty dean who's like, you are terrible scientists, and kicks them out.
Yeah.
In the 2016 one, it's fucking that.
It's like DeVry University.
Yeah, and he's like, he's giving them the bird.
He's
and
like, suck it.
Yeah, he's like, I have two words for you. It's going to be suck it. And it's like, that's more silly on a different level. You feel like there's a lot of improv going on.
Yeah, the closest thing to the Rick Moranis character, I guess, is like the Hemsworth character is so silly.
Yeah.
I was thinking that today as I was rewatching, because I haven't watched it from beginning to end until today, since I first saw it. And I remember when I first saw it, really liking it, but going into it because there was such backlash against it, like wanting to love it.
Because
I also love like a lot of Paul Feig's other movies, and then feeling like, okay, I was a little bit disappointed, but mostly I liked it.
Yeah.
But then watching it today, I genuinely had the thought, like, if there were no Ghostbusters already, this would be a fantastic celebrated movie.
Well, because it's funny enough, and you would be dazzled by the special effects and all that stuff.
The actresses are great. It's funny enough, like you said. And it does what I respect about it. And I know you said before that this is the wrong podcast if you're sick of nostalgia, but I'm somebody who right now I'm going through a phase where I'm just like very turned off by like nostalgia porn. I like that the 2016 Ghostbusters like nods to the original, but does a lot of its own thing.
Well, it's so different from Afterlife in that way.
Yes.
In some ways, it has more DNA in common with the original because it's a comedy.
Yes.
Whereas Afterlife is not a comedy. No. It's like a kid's movie.
Afterlife, the it's one of those weird things.
There's
where, like,
few jokes in Afterlife.
The further away I get from the 2016 Ghostbusters, almost like the more I like it. Mm. And I feel like the further in time I get away from Afterlife, the more I look back on it like, that was weird. That was just a Stranger Things type of ripoff, bending over and blowing itself of the original.
I like Afterlife,
come on.
But you cannot ignore that it's a little dull.
And it's also like, it just makes, I thought Afterlife was great, but it makes a lot of fucking weird choices. Like,
yeah, sure.
The fact that it's not, I mean, people got mad at Ghostbusters 2016 because it was set in New York, but filmed largely in Boston, and you could feel that it's not really New York. Fucking Afterlife is not at all in New York.
Right.
Afterlife is a children's movie.
It's a rural,
in a rural setting. It's so weird. I don't know. I mean, it's a good movie, but I almost feel like I'd rather watch at this point in time, I feel like I'd rather watch the 2016 Ghostbusters.
And I've heard other Ghostbusters fans say that. You know, because there are other fans. We're not the only two people that like it. There are other smart fans out there that like it. Recently, they put out a Blu-ray set of called The Ultimate Ghostbusters, which I refused to buy because it didn't have 2016 in it. And
I hate the erasure of it.
Yes, how dare you call it Ultimate? There are four fucking movies. Put all four in there.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's like, I don't even mind if you hate it, but why are we, like, when Afterlife came out, you would think that Ghostbusters 2016 never happened.
Right.
It's like they acted like, and what's annoys me about that is I take issue with all the original cast members who were in the 2016 Ghostbusters who then came back for Afterlife and were pretending like the 2016 Ghostbusters didn't exist.
Right.
Because, like, it had their stamp of approval.
Right,
they were
of course
in it, too.
Right, and Dan Aykroyd produced it.
Yeah.
It was produced by Ivan Reitman.
Yeah.
No, it absolutely does have
and
their stamp of approval.
Since we're talking about it, I just wanted to pull up. You want to hear some interesting stats?
Yes.
Ghostbusters 2016 on Rotten Tomatoes, certified fresh 73%, audience score 49%.
Mm.
Afterlife, not certified fresh, 63%. So it actually got worse reviews,
yes,
but 94% audience score.
And I don't want to say something incorrect, but I think it might have, I think 2016 may have made more money.
I'm not sure.
I mean, you could also say pandemic and all sorts of
those
changes.
Yeah, true, yeah.
But it in no way was a failure.
It was better reviewed.
And it never got the sequel that I think it deserved, because I think a sequel would have been tighter.
Yeah. Because
they could have just kind of done whatever they wanted with a sequel.
Yes.
Whereas it's almost like, you know, there was a time where we were doing a lot of reboots, and now we're doing a lot of Lego sequels. And it almost was like in the wrong spot, because it's a reboot when people wanted a Lego sequel.
Yeah.
Right? Because it comes after, like, The Force Awakens.
And it does not acknowledge
in-universe
the other Ghostbusters.
And one of the ways I think it may have screwed people, or people felt screwed, was for some reason, oh, I know why, but the original teaser trailer made it sound like it was in the universe of the other Ghostbusters film.
How?
It says, like, 20-something years ago, four scientists saved the world. Now it's time for... And they show the firehouse.
Well, I think in the original versions of the screenplay, it was in universe. But then later on, Paul Feig decided to divorce it from the
universe. Well, I don't know if this is true, but I have a theory. My theory is that they wanted Bill Murray to be a cameo, but he said, okay, but I won't play Peter Venkman.
And how dare he come back for Afterlife as Peter Venkman after all he put everyone through for 30 years. Yeah.
So I think that decision made them go, okay,
he can't be in this not Peter Venkman.
Right.
But we'd rather have him in it than not in it.
Right. So then we'll make it not in that world.
Yeah. And then what's his name?
Then all of them have to go by the same rule. Like, they're not going to have
Dan Aykroyd as a cab driver.
Right, they're not going to make him be Ray if Bill Murray's right. in it as something else.
Which is also great when Dan Aykroyd is the cab driver, says, "I ain't afraid of no ghosts," and he drives away. I mean, it's just, it's got enough nods to the original.
Yeah, yeah.
And even Sigourney Weaver's in it, Annie Potts. It's crazy because then, like, 4 years later, they're all back in Afterlife.
And Sigourney Weaver in both of these films is relegated to post-credit scenes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, as a Ghostbusters fan, though, there is some cool stuff in this that's not at all in the original movie that it's like, I like seeing this. I like seeing them test the proton pack
and
seeing, like, it fail at first and, like, how they fix it. I also like, and this is something I only just noticed, in 2016, when the proton beam lassos you, it will go around your chest to look like the symbol.
Yes.
I also like in this movie when Cordry paints the, what's his name, Nate Cordry, is the graffiti artist who makes the symbol, because as much as the symbol's iconic, in the original film, there's no, it's just there. No one talks about where it comes from or what it is.
And then the big bad at the end is that ghost.
Yes, I like that a lot.
And I also like that a dab will do you with stuff. Like,
yeah.
I think that Afterlife went way overboard with the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, and it almost didn't make sense.
You mean with Gozer?
No, I mean with the Stay Puft, with like the little Stay Puffs.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yes, because it makes no sense.
It makes no sense in the universe for that to happen.
Right.
But I like that in the 2016 when it was just a balloon and then it popped and that was it.
Right. Exactly. It was enough.
Yeah.
No, I totally agree. And I just found myself liking it so much more than before. Like, I like the look of 2016. Like, I like that the slime is like neon green. Mm-hmm. And I like the way that the CGI looks. I like the way that the ghostly balloons look, and like when it looks like old New York. Like, I really like that.
You know what else I really liked that I forgot was really well written until I watched it again today? The friendship between Melissa McCarthy and Kristen Wiig, and I was like, I was ghost girl and I got bullied for believing in ghosts and she's the only one who believed me. And then at the end when she saves her and she's like, I wasn't going to leave you again.
Their relationship.
And then we're all ghost girls.
Yeah.
And I love the appreciation that they have for ghosts. Like when they first see the ghost, Melissa McCarthy's like, I think you're gorgeous. I think you're so beautiful. Yeah, yeah. Like almost like seeing an animal or something. Yeah. Like they seem to like really be into ghosts more than the original Ghostbusters
were. In the original Ghostbusters, they go into business, but in this, they are always scientists, and they. She says this is a scientific research group.
Yeah,
and it's not until the media starts calling them Ghostbusters that they become the Ghostbusters. You never see anything about them charging anybody for anything. It's all science. No, I completely agree. Well, there's no talk in the original film as to any of why the three original Ghostbusters before Winston is hired, of why they care
and why they're into ghosts.
Right, but there's the great, like, little monologue in 2016 where Aaron is like, you know, the mean old lady next door died, and I'd see her staring at me at the foot of my bed, and that happened for a year.
And it was like childhood trauma.
It's generally a scary story in the movie, and it also goes, that's why she's interested in this.
Right, and Abby was the only girl in school who ever believed her.
Right, and it almost, I mean, this is putting a lot on it, but it almost is like a rape metaphor.
Yeah.
It's like, like, I'm the only one who believes you. And she gets kicked out of the university. She gets kicked out of Columbia University for believing in ghosts. They don't give her a tenure and they fire her because how can you be a real scientist and believe in ghosts?
And that's a funny, but it's also like done well. Like, it's such a funny cutaway when she's like, ghosts are real. And then it just cuts to her in the office and it's on YouTube. And he's like,
who is that?
Just moving offices. I wasn't fired. Paul Feig, I feel like, gave them room to, like, Kristen Wiig is doing what Kristen Wiig does best. Kate McKinnon's doing what she does best. And that's another thing. Leslie Jones is really funny. But Leslie Jones, for a whole other reason, people hate. I mean, just for racist reasons, people hate Leslie Jones.
No, she's,
and, like, bullied her off of social media.
No, she's great. I love when the ghost is on her shoulder. She's like, I'm just going to go home.
Yeah. You know what? I'm tired.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go home.
And then the person has the selfie stick and takes a selfie with her and the ghost. And she's like, really?
I mean, it's so there are so many scenes where I was like, wow, this is really funny.
Yeah. Or when the mannequin is behind her and she's like, don't. And then the mannequin starts running and she's like, no.
Well, I guess he's going to Queens.
Oh, that's so funny. He's the third scariest thing on that train. Yeah. I actually made a list of, where is it? I have a list of jokes that work, jokes that don't work, and threads that go nowhere.
Okay, go ahead.
Because the word on the street is that the original screenplay was like meatier, and Sony kind of like wanted to kind of water down everything to make it something that kids could like.
Yeah, that's what Paul Feig says.
Yeah. So
there's also, did you ever watch the uncut version?
No.
There's like a whole boyfriend character that Kristen Wiig has.
That's smart that they get rid of that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's, I guess before I get to my list, you just reminded me, something that's also very different is, like, you've got a Ray archetype, and you've got a Winston archetype, and an Egon archetype, but you don't have a Peter archetype. Like, Aaron, Kristen Wiig's character, is nothing like Peter Vakeman.
No. She's really more like an Egon.
Right. But she, yeah, exactly. But
and then Kate McKinnon's almost like the cartoon Egon.
Yeah, she looks like the cartoon Egon.
Yeah, stylistically. Yeah.
But so that's a difference, too. Like, there's no, like, brash, boorish, like, overt, like, leader.
Right.
There's no leader in their team, really.
No. They are much more of a team.
It's more egalitarian.
Yeah.
So, all right, here's some things that, and I didn't write down every joke that works, but jokes that are, like, big swings that I think actually, like, pay off. Jokes that work. At the beginning, when he's talking about how he pooped his pants, he's like, I didn't poop my pants. He's like, you said my pants are toast. That's really funny. Don't ever compare me to the George Mayer.
Oh, that's the best line.
Yeah. Also, when and then the security guard's comedy goes, that took way too long.
Yeah. Don't be like the mayor from Jaws, please.
Yeah. Don't you ever compare me to the George Mayer.
Cecily Strong is great, too.
Yes, yes. When they go to the firehouse and they're like, yeah, and the rent is $21,000 a month. She goes, oh, burn in hell. Like, that's her reaction.
I think in the original version, she goes, fuck yourself.
Patty being chased by the mannequin's really funny.
Nope, room full of nightmares.
When the villain, the male villain, the human villain Rowan kills himself, I don't forget who says it, but someone goes, that's a weird move. Yeah. At the end, when they like come out of the void and they're like, what year is it? And she's like, it's 2040. We have a president who's a plant.
Yeah. Just kidding. Nah, you're gone for like 2 seconds.
Like, there's real funny shit in it.
I want to talk about why their hair turns white.
I don't know. I don't know why. Yeah, I don't know why
either. Was it supposed to show them aging?
I find myself going, is there something deeper here that I could read?
Me too. Like,
Or is it just a gag?
Yeah. I don't know. Was it supposed to signify like they are changed now?
Maybe.
I feel like there's got to be something to it.
I mean,
it's weird.
She does something braver than any Ghostbuster does in any other Ghostbuster movie. She jumps into like a void to save someone.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I think it's good that they took out the romance for Kristen Wiig, because really the relationship needs to be just
Aaron and Abby.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think a lot of the Hemsworth stuff works, is really funny.
I think some of it doesn't, though. It's like 1990s sitcom.
He's just
so dumb.
Yeah, like, but like, I love
like
Kristen
covering his eyes when something's loud. Yeah, like that's too much.
But Kristen Wiig, like all that stuff is funny. It's just like, you're hired.
Oh, well, that to me feels like a good reversal of how lecherous Bill Murray is towards Sigourney Weaver.
Yes.
Like that she's constantly, like, basically sexually harassing Chris Hemsworth.
And I love when, what's her name, Melissa McCarthy is like, Kevin? You think he's good looking?
Yeah.
Like, it's just so funny.
Oh, I love, that's another funny scene when he's like, I came up with logo ideas, and he has the 7-Eleven logo, and like, I think that's, we use that.
Did you think
your that, work is more cerebral than I thought it would have been.
Did you think that Abby was queer-coded?
That's so interesting.
This time around, I kind of thought she was.
I think,
Kate McKinnon is.
Kate McKinnon, yeah. A Holtzman is... She's very much like flirting with Aaron at points.
Yeah.
But I know. Well, I could see it now you say it.
Yeah. I don't know.
But also it seems like romance is not something any of them care about.
No. Yeah.
Yeah,
I like that there's not a romance like there was between Peter and Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah. No. It you don't need that at all.
Can I also say I like also that they didn't have to have the same exact score. Like, Afterlife feels like it has to have the same score.
Afterlife having the same score, that, dun, I found.
Dun, 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 dun. Like, it's great to hear it, but it's like, do you need it?
Yeah, no, it's weird because they also take it from, like, a sort of comedy, goofy score and, like, Spielberg it up and make it, like this deep thing.
Yeah.
It's a very weird, you know, and I said this on my Afterlife episode, they only play the Ghostbusters song once, as if that's classy to do that. But I like how in 2016 they play it. I don't know if you know this, the soundtrack to 2016 is all versions of the song.
Yes.
Like, he didn't want... He felt like, we'll fail if we just do one version. Everyone will hate it. So how about I get a million different people to do their own... And there's remixes of it. There's a Japanese version of it.
Mm-hmm.
And in the movie, you hear two or three different versions of it. And I thought that was a very smart thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
All right. Do you want to hear my list of things that don't work?
Yeah, yeah. I have one.
Okay.
A lot of the stuff that they put in the trailers doesn't work. Like the wig or the hat bit.
Yeah.
Like, that's not that funny.
No, it doesn't work. The running gag about soup with her in the soup, that does not work. The fart prank when she's like, she's like, we have a recording of a ghost.
Oh, yeah.
That's just, it takes too long.
Yeah.
The Dean, I have two words for you, suck it. A lot of the Kevin stuff. I like some of the Kevin stuff, like when he spits out the coffee and he's like, yeah, that's coffee.
Yeah, that's
like, I hate coffee. But like some of it just too far.
Like when he takes the glass out of his glasses because it kept getting dirty.
Yeah. Ozzy Osbourne screaming Sharon in 2016. Yeah,
yikes.
I mean, that's 14 years after that joke was relevant. Abby's head spinning around like The Exorcist. That's just so.
Although
it's so rogue.
It is
cliche.
And also when she slaps her and she says that's going to leave a mark. Yeah. Like, how many times are we going to have that joke from Tommy Boy repeated?
Yeah.
But I actually this time around thought that scene was funny. Like, not the head spinning part, but the scene is funny.
The whole scene is
the
funny.
The devil is a liar. Like, I thought that was really funny, actually.
No, I agree with you.
Which one you launched about the window?
Yeah.
That was funny, too.
I like the Chinese restaurant setting as mm-hmm. there. I almost think they shouldn't even have the scene where they go and look at the firehouse and then don't
get it. I like that
it.
It's a bait and switch, though. That was funny.
Yeah, I get. I mean, it's funny that line where she's like, oh, burn in hell is funny. But I feel like just doing something different. Just go ahead and be different. Like, it's weird to me at the end they end up there because it's like, this isn't a prequel. So why do you feel you have to end up in the firehouse?
Right.
Just do it or don't do it. And I'm fine with you not doing it.
Yeah. I guess it's so iconic.
I guess. Yeah. I also don't like when Rowan, like, possesses all the cops and soldiers. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, that's a little corny.
Yeah. A lot of that times, that big set piece at the end, I feel like is needed work.
But I gotta say,
like, I'm still confused. That's like, what was going on where, like, it became, like, an older version of New York? I don't know. It seemed like a touch too much or something.
It was the ley lines, like, he was trying to, like, he was, like, opening up a portal.
Yes, but, like, why did it become Times Square in the 40s?
I don't know. Because that's older? I don't know. It's a ghost
it's
time?
Weird. I don't know. Yeah, I didn't love that.
But I have to say...
But the action is good.
Yeah, for fans who are like, oh, I like action, like, there's... It's so much more action in this than there is in, like, Afterlife. There's, like, nothing in Afterlife.
Well, Afterlife has a cool, like, chase.
Yeah,
with the sidecar.
Like, Kate McKinnon, like, with all her shit, like, when she, like, takes out the two guns, like, mm-hmm. if that were a guy, that would be, like, on YouTube
and
all the time.
She licks him.
Yeah, like, that's really cool. I actually like all of the stuff, like, the what do you call it, the ghost chipper,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
like the thing where you punch the ghost, like,
yeah,
I
that's
like
really cool.
All of the toys and shit in it, the ghost, like, grenade,
and then at the end there's, like, a bear trap.
Yeah, I liked all of that stuff. That stuff was all a lot of fun. Yeah, and I like the action. I like, you know, when they get to, like, do Ghostbustering things, like, they take that not serious, but they treat that as, like, adventure.
Yeah.
I like that the human villain Rowan is basically like an incel.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yeah.
And he's like very
sexist.
What does
she say? She's like, it's always the quiet ones or something.
Yeah, something like
she
that.
She says something like that when she sees his picture.
Yeah.
Because he is like an incel.
And he says misogynistic things.
Yeah.
And he thinks like, I'm important, but no one sees it.
It's almost like it was making meta commentary on the fanboys who hated it.
And
maybe that's part of what made them hate it even more. Is it's like, you don't respect us as fans. You're making fun of us in the text.
But, you know, I thought that more people would have been angry at the new Scream movie for making the killers toxic. But it seems like it got away with it. People like that movie. Like, I thought that would have had a backlash. I mean, they literally say in that movie, Rian Johnson directed the last Stab movie and ruined it. And that's why we're killing people. I mean, it's such a direct reference to, like, The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
But it seemed they got away with it. I also have another theory. This is a little bit... I don't know how to put this. This might be somewhat crass as a theory.
Women aren't funny?
No. I think some of the really straight bro-y dudes in the audience were upset that Bill Murray's character was a very kind of fey character.
I was thinking that too.
Like he's
and he says the hat was his mother's.
It's my mother's hat. He's got a walking stick. He's very like a dandy. I think that hurt them somewhere deep. Look, that, like, this is their hero, and look at him. He's being quote unquote like gay,
emasculated. Yeah. Almost. Yeah. Look, we both know some very toxic bros who like, are very into Ghostbusters, who were very upset.
Yeah.
By that. And felt betrayed by Bill Murray.
Right.
As if he owed them something.
Like, if Bill Murray were a different kind of character, I think people would have liked that. I think people really hated that it's such a different character from Venkman.
Yeah.
My problem...
And he's kind of like a villain.
Yeah. Well, my problem with that is it's a dropped thread. Like, that guy should have been, like, the Walter Peck.
Yeah, he should have been mentioned earlier, too.
He just dies really soon.
And he's not mentioned before he shows up, right?
You see him on, like, one news show.
Oh, right.
But still, it's not... It's a thread that should have been... He shouldn't have died.
I feel like maybe he even should have been, like... That character could have been, like, the person who fired her from Columbia or something.
It could have been way more. It feels like... If he's just going to be a cameo, don't give him this whole scene.
Mm-hmm.
But don't set him up and then kill him.
Yeah.
Well, I have another list. I have a list of threads that I feel go nowhere.
Okay.
My list is not very long. There's Bill Murray's character. Then there's also the ghost jumpers. In the very beginning, they show like a bullshit like A&E ghost hunter show.
Oh, yes.
And she's like, these are the people that – it's because of these people no one believes in us. And I thought, okay, this is clever because you're going to have them intersect. Like they're going to – like while they're busting ghosts, these people are going to come in shooting their show. It's going to –
That would have been good.
And it never went anywhere. I guess it was just a momentary joke.
Because she says, who are they going to call?
And then you hear ghost jumpers. But yeah, I just felt like, oh, this is going to be a clever thread. And
that would have been a clever thread.
Yeah.
It almost, this is such a weird reference. I don't know why I thought of it. It almost reminds me of like, remember in the second Blair Witch movie when it was like there was those competing Blair Witch tour groups?
Right.
I don't know where that came from.
That's a deep, deep cut. One of the biggest, I think, bummers in the movie is that the non-scientist is an African-American person again. And for a movie that's so progressively minded, it makes me think...
I was thinking that. It's like... The three white women are the intelligent ones.
Yeah.
And they're the scientists and they're smart. And then you have the one black character is like, I'm not smart like you guys, but I know I got street smarts. And it's like, we did this in the original back in the 80s.
Like, why couldn't one of the scientists be black?
Yeah.
Why couldn't...
It's another thing that I think just shows how much we've progressed just in 6 years. Like, I think if they were to make that today, that wouldn't be the case. I don't think.
Do you think this movie would have been better received if it were like a split group? Like, if it weren't four females, if it were like two females and two males?
Yeah, because I think in a way, Afterlife is almost like that, and that was pretty well received, right? Because I mean, arguably the protagonist of Afterlife is a little girl,
right?
So. Yeah, I probably. I think the fact that it was four women.
Right.
And
it's the director of Bridesmaids, which made a lot of money, and a lot of people are like, ooh, are women funny? As if like...
I know, it's so ridiculous. Anytime there's a movie with women that does well at the box office, they're like, can women make great movies? Or I mean, and Paul Feig's a man, but you know what I mean? Like, can women star? Can women run movies, do well? And it's like, how many times are we going to have this stupid conversation?
Right. Right.
I don't know. I agree. My thing is, I've always been mad that I think Mindy Kaling didn't get her due because she's the one who thought of the idea.
Oh, she did?
And it was sort of taken from her. Well, there's no direct proof of that, but I can tell you that in her book that she wrote and published in like 2012, she said, I want there to be a female Ghostbusters movie where it's four women. One of them will be me. One of them will be Melissa McCarthy.
Wow.
And then she even name drops Melissa McCarthy. I think she cast two other women. And then she was like, and it'll be great. And then it ended up happening with Melissa McCarthy.
Wow.
And I feel like if Mindy Kaling had been one of the writers, it would have been better.
Well, you've reminded me, did you see the trailer for the Velma show?
No, I did not.
It's very interesting. She's the voice of Velma. She's also like the creator of the show. It's a cartoon. But Velma is Indian, like...
Really?
Yeah, so Velma has darker skin now. No, it's a cartoon.
Okay.
So Velma looks like Velma. She has like the same glasses and clothes, but she has darker skin.
But she's like Indian American.
And she's voiced by
Mindy Kaling.
But in the trailer, she's being toxic because she sees on the news that they're rebooting the Jetsons, but they're making Judy Jetson black. And she's like, ah, why are they changing things? So it's like this meta commentary.
Uh-huh.
It's really interesting.
That's funny.
I think
are the other characters in it?
No, I don't think so. I think she's smart going into it knowing people are going to hate it. So why don't I make it in mind if people are going to fucking hate it?
So is Scooby-Doo in it?
No, I think it's just Velma.
Is she solving mysteries?
I think so, yeah. Well, yeah, okay. In the trailer, like, she gets, like, killed. But I don't think she gets killed in the show.
Okay. Because in my head, I'm like, what's Velma without any of the other characters? Isn't that just Daria?
It looks like spooky mystery kind of thing.
Okay, that's fun. I wonder if it's, like, an alternate universe where those other characters don't exist, or this is
she'll probably, like, meet them in it or something.
Okay, interesting. That's cool.
It's interesting. Maybe, like, that's what she did with her Ghostbusters idea. Because it seems like she's, you know.
Yeah. What I will say is that I think that the movie could have been better. I don't know if it's the writing, the directing, the whatever. I just think it had the potential to be better than it is.
Yeah.
Which is upsetting because I think a lot of people were rooting for it to fail. And then I feel like just as many people were rooting for it to be amazing. And it kind of fell just like a regular movie. You know, and it's hard Paul Feig has said it's hard when a movie is carrying all these expectations before it's even released.
Right.
So he was like, of course, you know, it divided people and didn't do well because people were like arguing about it before it ever opened.
And his next movie was like a thriller. It wasn't even a comedy.
Yeah, it was a simple plan.
Yeah. Well, the weird like thing of the first Ghostbusters movie was it was a grown up comedy, but it just happened to take off with children. Like kids really liked it. Because I guess the grown-up humor went over their heads and they liked the ghostbusting part. And then they made a cartoon. Mm-hmm. And, of course, kids, that was for kids. So, you know, when they made Ghostbusters 2, they no longer smoked. There's a lot less cursing, a lot less sexuality. It's still like the first one, but you could see it's very tamed down for kids.
Yeah.
And there's even, like, meta references to, like, Ghostbusters show in a cartoon.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's a Bobby Brown who does a song on a soundtrack, plays like a doorman, and at one point he says to Egon, he opens the door for Egon and he goes, hey, can I get one of those proton packs for my little brother? Egon goes, proton pack is not a toy, it was a toy. Oh,
that's funny.
But so then I think what happened with the Paul Feig movie is I think if they had said this is a grown-up comedy and it could do grown-up comedy things, it would be better. But I think you had Sony going, no, this has to be a movie that both grown-ups and kids like. Because then what happens is Afterlife is just a kid's movie, really. I mean, grown-ups can like it, but it's the characters are kids.
Yeah, it's Afterlife almost defies genre.
It's when you really think, like, it's the fact that it is in the continuity of the original movies and has the original Ghostbusters in it.
And yet is so different.
Yeah, everything else about it is different. Its feel is different. Its world is different. I mean, it's a kid's movie. Like, it makes me wonder, like, if 2016 hadn't happened, would people hate on this?
Probably.
Because, I mean, you think, like, okay, people hated the Ghostbusters movie with four female Ghostbusters. What's our next move? How about a child female Ghostbuster? And you think, like, that wouldn't work. But I think people just like, oh, God, you're going to have Egon in it? You're going to have Bill Murray in it?
I'd also like to point out that to go back to the misogyny of it all.
Sure.
A lot of neckbeardy dorks used it not being in universe as why they didn't like it. But if you remember, they were all in favor of the never produced Chris Pratt reboot, which was also not going to be in the same universe, but it was going to be four guys. And they were like, let's do that now.
Right.
So it was misogyny.
Right.
You know, like we can't call it what it's not.
Well, it's...
I think that thing of it like, oh, it's just too different. It was an excuse.
It's the thing... I agree with you. And there is, of course, a minority of people that will...
And God, would that movie have been bad? Like a Ghostbusters reboot with Chris Pratt?
It would have been...
It would have been horrible.
Well, what they would have done is they would have went way into the action and it would have been an action movie.
Yeah.
With some comedy.
Yeah.
It would have been like 21 Jump Street.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are people out there who genuinely don't like Ghostbusters 2016 because they don't like the story or they don't think it's funny, and those people resent being lumped in with misogynists.
Right, and they're not the most strident ones.
Right, But I do agree with you that there are some misogynists that say that that's not the reason. It's like...
who hated it before they saw it.
Right. Well, it's like the people who hate The Last Jedi who are like, what I hate about it is that Luke wouldn't act that way. And it's like, no, what you hate about it is that you don't like the way Rian Johnson presents himself. You don't like that Princess Leia flies. You don't, you know, you don't like that it's different from the other Star Wars. Like, you're, but the thing you're holding on to is it's somehow wrong in continuity. It right. breaks continuity because Luke wouldn't act that way.
Right.
I mean, maybe that's not the perfect metaphor, but it, you know, people will, they'll be like the mainstream reason why.
Well, I mean,
I almost have more respect for people who are like, I don't like females, so fuck the female Ghostbusters. At least you're telling me the truth.
Well, it's like those neckbeards who are like, Rey is a Mary Sue, and, you know, like, from minute one, didn't like Rey.
Right.
From Force Awakens.
Right.
And it's like, well, that's because she's a woman. Right. I mean...
Right, right, like...
the whole concept of her being a Mary Sue is just, like, the most sexist fucking thing.
Right, because this is, like, these movies are so far into fantasy.
Right, and Luke is a nothing character.
Yeah,
Luke doesn't get a personality until Return of the Jedi.
He's an audience avatar.
Yeah.
And he's good at it. I'm not saying the actor is bad.
No, but...
but he's an audience avatar.
He's so thinly
he's
written.
He's not a character, I think... you said, Return of Jedi, maybe, but I think he becomes really the best performances in The Last
Jedi.
Oh,
is in The Last Jedi, yeah.
Because he's this dejected, old kind of failure.
Which he becomes like Obi-Wan. Like, it makes so much sense when you really think about it.
Right, right, right.
He's like an old man in hiding.
Right, and he's like, he's full of regrets and failure. It's like, that's so much smarter. You wanted to catch up with him like 40 years later, and he, I don't know, we're talking about this again. We got to stop. But, getting back to Ghostbusters 2016, I
would have liked a little bit more clarity about, and maybe this is actually for Ghostbusters in general as a franchise.
Yeah.
I said this with on our witches episode when I said, what is a witch? Like, yeah. If you watch enough Ghostbusters in a row, you'll be like, what is a ghost?
Right.
What is a dragon thing? Is that a ghost of a person? Right. What is this?
Are they really demon busters?
I don't get it. Because sometimes they appear to be like people. Other yeah. times they are like Slimer.
Yeah.
It's like, what are they?
Right.
Do they kill people? Because that's one line that really took me out of the narrative in 2016 when she's like, these ghosts kill people. I was like, are the ghosts there to kill people? I've never thought of that.
Right, right, right. Like, can they kill people?
I guess in the movie they kill Bill Murray.
Right.
So
no,
I guess
right.
the ghosts.
But I'm thinking in the whole world, like in the original Ghostbusters, I guess they can.
But it's like that. I never got the feeling that was their intention was to kill people.
Well, I think you're right. I mean, that goes to the whole series, which is like both the 2016 film and the original film. The first ghost you see is very humanoid. Like the right. library ghost and the ghost in the mansion are both like these female sort of floating ghosts that look humanoid.
And they're dressed like in Victorian garb.
Right.
Yeah.
But then you have like Slimer, who's like, are you a human that becomes deformed because of the way you lived your life or something? Or do we just
call
them...
very Dickensian.
Yeah, or do we just call them ghosts, but what we really mean is demons?
Yeah.
Are they demon busters, truly?
Well, that's the thing. That was another thing that I... maybe it wasn't a dropped thread, but I feel like it wasn't explored enough, was with the landlines where... like
the ley lines.
I liked that, like, Leslie Jones's character was like sort of an encyclopedia of New York City history.
Yeah, I did like
and
that.
I thought it was cool how she was like, well, that makes sense because that building had like crazy stuff happen there.
Yeah.
It almost gave me like Shining vibes.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
there
yeah.
are some places that are just haunted.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I don't know if they really went far enough with that.
Right.
And then it was cool when in the subway was where an old jail used to be, and then the ghost yeah. was wearing the old jail.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, uniform
and
or whatever.
It was like an electric
yeah,
chair kind
yeah,
of thing,
and an
which happens in Ghostbusters apparatus. 2 as well.
Yeah. But so, like, I feel like that could have been, that was like a new element that I feel like could have been explored more and pushed.
I agree.
I thought it was cool when they saw it when they mapped it out, and they were yeah. like, look, it's like, across these ley lines, like there's, it's like these, what they say, they're like supernatural highways,
right,
or something.
Well, something that I think was always not good in every single Ghostbusters movie is they make it like ghosts aren't just a natural phenomenon, but there is something happening that's making them happen. Like in the first one, it's Gozer. Like the reason more ghosts are the business is good is because the Gozer being there is making more ghosts happen.
Yeah.
In part two, it's the slime.
And this, it's the machine.
And this, it's the machines and Rowan doing it.
Yeah.
It's better like, to just have there are ghosts in the right. world. And
well, it's like they always say, like, oh, they're amplifying or they're connecting us to the spirit world or whatever.
Right. Even in Ghostbusters 2, they say, like, we went out of business after one because they were just less ghosts.
Yeah.
It's very weird.
What's that thing? Is it in one when he's like the Titanic just arrived and you
that's
see
in
like
two.
That's in two. That's
right.
a cool.
And those are people, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the other thing
And what about the taxi driver in one that's like a ghost taxi driver?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, what are they? How does it drive a car? Like, right. I have questions.
Yeah, I know.
It's a cool gag.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it looks cool.
Yeah.
There's always the thing that I've always thought about is the moral implications of imprisoning ghosts. Like, but in 2016, there is no containment unit. They trap one ghost and it gets out and kills Bill Murray. And they're not trying to go into business. It's not until the very end that you see a containment unit.
Yeah.
So, you know, in that sense, it's very different.
Yeah.
Also, you know, it seems like in 2016, their whole goal is to prove ghosts exist to the world.
Yes.
And that's not what the goal is for the original. The original is the going into business move.
Yes. And there's like that, remember, I know we talked about this before, like that interesting reading of the first Ghostbusters as being like, a response to like rising crime in New York City in the 80s migrants coming into the city and stuff. This is not like that. And if we go with your point from before that it's really about like paying attention to women.
Right.
Believing women.
Yeah.
And believing their stories. Their goal is we want people to believe us and stop saying that we're crazy and dumb.
Right, right, right. Right. She gets totally like loses her job and her livelihood. Yeah. Like in the beginning, she's like in this weird denial because she wrote a book with Abby about ghosts and then moved on and tried to go into more like mainstream science and is like tries to hide that she ever wrote that book. And she's like kind of like ashamed of it and tries to hide it off the internet. And like someone comes to her with the book and she's like, no, that's not me. And he's like, well, you look a lot like the woman about the author in the photo. And she's like, oh, it was just a joke. And he's like, well, the first sentence says this is not a joke.
Yeah.
It is different in that way. Something I think that's very clever that I like about, again, this kind of fits in that believe or not thing. Mm. The relationship between the Ghostbusters and the mayor's office is so different in both films. In the original film, they like have to prove that it's true. And then finally, when things get crazy, the mayor, who could, I guess, represent like all of law and order, believes them, and then they go and they save the day. But in this one, the whole time the mayor's like, oh yeah, we know ghosts exist,
they use them,
and we're thankful to you, like keep doing it, but we have to publicly say that you're frauds,
right?
And we're gonna fake arrest you now, and you can never say that we told you this, and we can never,
you know, to tie back into this whole thing of like believe women and like women being, you know, maligned for telling their stories or being intelligent or whatever, like when Cecily Strong was talking to the press, she's like, you know, it's just more antics from these very sad women.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And she's such an interesting character because she's like the mouthpiece of them. And it's not until the very like end scene that you see her sitting with them and she's like, it's out. She's like, well, you know, they keep going with the story of a mass hallucination, but no one's buying it. So now the world knows who you are.
Yeah.
And like, you get the idea that like she almost never wanted to hide them.
Yeah.
And then there's that, I think, nice scene at the end where like they go up on the roof and you see people are like, thank you, Ghostbusters.
I heart Ghostbusters. Yeah.
I mean, it's funny because it's a clever reversal of it. You know, it's clever that they're like, oh yeah, ghosts are real.
Yeah.
And you've got the two Homeland Security agents. One of them is, what's his name from?
Oh, I think he's Mike from Veep. But
Yeah.
Matt Walsh, I think his name is.
Yeah, or something. And I like when Holtzman's like touching him. Stop.
He's like, is it one or two?
Yeah. Oh yeah,
it's two, isn't it?
Like, how many people think? What was it? How many think? Oh, I forget what it was that he asked. Like, one, two.
It's two, isn't it? And then she just like pets him.
Yeah. But I do like that.
I love when she's. I also thought it was really funny when she was dancing, and Krista Wiig was like, "Okay, have fun. Be safe though," because she's dancing with the flamethrowers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, there's funny stuff in it.
They have...
I hate to debarge in.
Yeah. That's debarge?
I thought it was Devo. Anyway.
Yeah. They have good chemistry.
Yeah.
The four of them together, I think, are a good team. I do. They did comics with them, but I do wish they had another movie. And you know, Jason Reitman has said, like, I would love another movie, but it's like, you say that like you're just a fan, but you you have a say in this. Like,
right.
You making Afterlife, because the idea of Afterlife came about during the production of 2016.
Really? I didn't know that.
So they knew, like, while they were, like, editing 2016, that the next thing they were going to do was Afterlife.
So it was like a contingency plan almost?
Well, I don't think they knew 2016 was going to fail, but, like, they were doing 2016 because that was their way of continuing the brand. But then he, I guess, gave them a better offer, something that they were like, ooh, this will be better for us. So it's almost like they never had a chance.
Yeah.
Like, because they always knew, really, our next move is this movie, Afterlife.
Which is so crazy because they set up a sequel.
Yeah. Yeah. And it would have been, I would have loved to see. I really wish.
And now it'll never happen now.
I know. And I like Jason Reitman, but there is a lot of bullshit in his game because, like, you know, whenever he's asked about 2016, he graciously never says anything bad about it. And he gets into this, like, very progressive thing of, like, I think that there could be any kind of Ghostbusters. I want to see Native American Ghostbusters and Asian Ghostbusters. And,
right.
I think we can have a million of these movies. And it's like, okay, in theory, that's a very nice thing you're saying.
But what are you doing to make that happen?
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, you're not doing much in that. And I feel like if Jason Reitman wanted, let's say he wanted to direct a sequel to 2016, that could have happened. His father's the producer and director of the original movie, right? It's total nepotism, right? He any idea, I think, he could have made as a Ghostbusters book.
Yeah.
So it's so weird for him to be like, you know, I'd love to see one. It's like, okay, well, okay, then make one. How about that?
Yeah.
Or, like, bring them in somehow. Like, you know what I mean? Like, do a fucking Marvel multiverse and be like, let them be in it.
You know, it makes me think, like, there's this thing with maybe it's 90s kids or 80s kids or whatever, where it's like, I almost feel like the idea of a Ghostbusters 3 is like this white whale that they've been chasing forever. And 2016 wasn't really a Ghostbusters 3. Afterlife isn't really a Ghostbusters 3.
Very much
not.
And
it's like, I think it's just this generation of fans just has a hard time swallowing that there will never be a Ghostbusters 3.
I could extend that to Star Wars, too. There's never going to be a Star Wars film where Han, Leia, and Luke are doing an adventure together.
Yeah. It's just not going to happen.
Right.
So I don't know if that's part of the weirdness toward new things and new ideas.
Because
I'm sure, in fairness, there are just as many fans that didn't like Afterlife, too.
Sure. I know. I won't call anybody out, but I know, like, fans who are, like, big in the fan community that don't really like Afterlife.
Yeah. Yeah. And probably for the same, like, weird reasons of, like, it's too different or whatever.
Right.
Which
right,
it
right.
is. And I guess I can respect that. But, yeah, I don't know. It's just, like,
you know, if Afterlife,
what do they want? Like, what would they want? Just Ghostbusters 3, a straight, it's the four of them,
I guess. Yeah, that's what they want.
I mean, but it's never going to happen. First of all, one of them's dead. And it's just, you know, it's just not going to happen.
And also, it would not be good.
No.
It's not going to happen.
Well, the original, isn't the reason
why people don't like two. I mean, I like two, but a lot of people don't like two.
Well, isn't the reason why Bill Murray never wanted to do it was because, like, all the ideas for three were always bad?
Yeah, the reason he didn't want to do it, he had, during Groundhog's Day, pulling out with Harold Ramis.
Oh, really?
That's the reason
Were they speaking when he died?
Yes, they reconciled when he died. He actually, like, while he was on his deathbed, going on Afterlife, like, sometimes I wonder, like, if the original Ghostbusters didn't show up in the end, like, still had it be in their world, like, there
but
are
they
Ghostbusters
didn't show up.
But they don't show up at the end, could that have let there be better, could that have led to a better ending? Could the whole package somehow be better if it doesn't have that? Because after the first time you see it, I feel like what it ends up being is, like, you're just waiting for that scene.
Yeah.
You know, like that's the part three. You want part three, right?
Yeah.
This is what you want more than anything.
I'll be honest. Even when I saw it in the theater, I really enjoyed it. I don't want anyone to think that I don't like Afterlife, because I actually do like it.
Yeah.
But even when I was watching that part, when it got into all that at the end, I was like, wow, this is really just turning into, like, fan service for fan service sake. And it feels disingenuous almost.
I like the idea of a little kid,
like,
becoming a Ghostbuster. And, like, you know what I mean? Like, that's a cool, cute idea for a kid's movie.
It's very Spielbergian.
You know, they're making another Ghostbusters movie that's written again. It's written by Jason Reitman and his partner, who wrote Afterlife.
Is it a sequel to Afterlife?
Yes.
Okay.
But it's in New York, and the shooting script of it is called Firehouse. So I really can't imagine what this is.
The same characters?
Yeah.
Maybe they moved to New
York. Right, but it's like... Yeah,
it's weird.
But it's so weird.
Well, they moved from New York in this one, right?
I don't know where they are originally, but they moved
to... I got the sense that they moved from New York...
Oh, maybe.
...to the country.
I don't know what this could be because... Okay, it sounds on paper like this is going to be more like a Ghostbusters movie that you think of. But are these four kids actually going to be Ghostbusters? Like, how do you really do this? Yeah. Or do you have, they've set up like Winston is going to be like the Nick Fury in the Marvel world. Like, Winston is this millionaire in the story now. Mm. And he's going to reopen it. Like, he's going to make Ghostbuster franchise. And he's going to be the thing that ties it all together. But, like... Do you just have the kids from Afterlife as characters, but then you have four other grown-ups become professional Ghostbusters? Like, there's a 14-year-old girl going to business.
Yeah, I don't know.
And be a ghost. It's weird. Like, I don't understand how it can go. Like, I kind of like this. I like that you're going to see more of the characters, and they are older because the movie was done so long ago.
Yeah.
And then it got pushed back like a billion years. So they are like older characters now, but it's like, if you go back into the firehouse and we go into, like, now we're going into business. Like, in Afterlife, it's more of a symbolic they become Ghostbusters because there's four of them. They get on board. There's a problem to be solved, and they put on the suits.
Yeah.
They don't go into business. They don't become Ghostbusters. Can they do that in the new one?
I don't know.
Like, I don't get it. I don't know where it goes, really.
I'm actually disappointed to hear that they're making another one. I thought it ended fine.
Well, that shouldn't surprise you, though.
I mean, of course, it doesn't surprise me.
It's an intellectual property. And it's one of the few ones that, like, Sony has. You know, they had...
Yeah, they lost Spider-Man, right?
Right, like... Well, they co-produce Spider-Man, but it's like the only like really creative thing Sony does is like with the other Spider-Man characters, like Morbius or fucking Venom.
Yeah, and who the hell cares?
Right. So it's like this is a franchise that they know has an audience that's like buy shit. So they you know, every one of these things has been an attempt at the same thing. I mean, one thing that I do like is I think they are like expanding what it could be. Like, there is an animated film coming out, which might be more like a part three. Okay. I'd rather them do something. Like, I don't want them to do the Marvel thing if everything has to be in canon now.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to do different things, go ahead and do different things. I'd like to see... Because it's just a cool, high concept. I'd like to see it done in different ways. There's a Ghostbusters kids book that came out. And it's like, it tells a story, but as if they were like little kids.
That's cute.
And like, it's very cute. And it's like, this is a cute idea. Like, I would want to see that.
Yeah, I'm sure it's just going to, it's a cash cow.
Right. See, what sucks about the last two is like, they both feel like trying to be starting points. They both feel like, let's kickstart this thing again. And I would love to just see like a good filmmaker and a good writer just be like, let's do exactly what we want to do. Because that's the thing. The Ghostbusters is a weird idea, and that's what's interesting about it. Just go ahead and do it.
Right.
You know? Even Paul Feig's movie, as much as I like that it does its own thing, like, it was trying to set up sequels.
Yeah, like, it doesn't... Why does it have to be an origin? Like, just start. Start with them being Ghostbusters.
Yeah. I've said this before on the podcast. I would love if they did the original script by Dan Aykroyd, where it's future, and Ghostbusters is an actual job... And it's,
that was his original idea for Ghostbusters?
Yeah, the original Ghostbusters script was two Ghostbusters that were going to be him and John Belushi. And it's the future, so it's the sci-fi world.
Okay.
And, like, Ghostbusters is, like, a normal job, but it's about these two particular Ghostbusters. Like, fucking do that. Do any crazy shit.
Wow, that really evolved.
Yeah.
Well, wasn't his idea for three, like, Ghostbusters in hell?
Yes.
Like they would like go to the other side.
They ended up doing that with the game. I mean, really, if you want a Ghostbusters 3, it's the game. The video game did that story, has the four originals in it, does the Goes to Hell story. The video game ties together the first and second movie as if like there's one bad guy behind both things. So it would have been an interesting trilogy ender.
Isn't there a comic where the 2016 Ghostbusters meet?
Well, there's like a multiverse comic where it's like them and the real Ghostbusters from the cartoon and like the extreme go like the like. But there's also Ghostbusters also like met the Ninja Turtles and in comics everything happens. Yeah. It's so funny when I went to
that was actually the first female Ghostbuster, wasn't it?
Yeah, Kylie.
Yeah.
And also a Ghostbuster in a wheelchair.
Yeah, yeah. I remember that.
Who got screwed because they never made his figure.
What a... God.
Too much. I guess they felt like it's too much plastic.
Yeah.
Do we charge more? Are we getting in trouble for charging more? How do we do this correctly?
Assholes.
Yeah, no, it's funny. When I went to that Alamo event and they were showing all the stuff, when Extreme Ghostbusters came on the screen, people were like, woo! But it's like, you guys also gonna boo fucking 2016?
Yeah, it's so
like,
weird.
To me, the cool thing is like, there's all of this shit.
Yeah.
Like, it's all cool. It's all weird sci-fi meets comedy and ghost mashup. Like, I don't know. Just the weird consensus. Because it makes me feel like I want to get up and go, I want to publicly say that I am not agreeing with those who are booing now.
Yeah, I know.
I am a Ghostbusters fan, and it's good to be among you other Ghostbusters fans, but I want on the record that I disagree with what you're saying.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's why, you know, like, toxic fandom is a thing, you know, and it's hard because you do get lumped in. Like you said before, there are people who don't like it for legitimate reasons who resent being lumped in with the misogynists. Yeah. You do, as I guess as a fan of anything, you kind of get lumped in with everyone else.
And you know what? I'm sure I would be lumped in with progressives, and obviously I'm progressive, but I don't fight for Ghostbusters 2016 because I think it's so fucking progressive. I think it's a good movie. I think it's funny. You know, I think there are non-progressive things about it, like the one African-American Ghostbuster being the non-scientist.
It's also a fucking movie about busting ghosts.
Yeah, that like, ends up being the really funny thing, which is like, well, you know, this is I guess this is the thing we can end on, which is maybe it was lightning in a bottle.
Yeah, because 2 wasn't it either.
I liked 2 a lot, but I also liked it as a kid. Because
you were
a
child. I mean, most adults like didn't like Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah, like, they were like, oh, this sucks. Ghostbusters 1. Maybe, I know I'm contradicting what I just said about I want to see a million different versions of it because it's this high concept idea. I mean, I would like it.
But I think they could franchise.
But I have different standards from other people. I think other people want something that it's like.
They could franchise it, but it's like people have this weird thing, and it's not just about Ghostbusters, it's about Star Wars, it's about everything, where it's like they want new content. But they want that new content to either be an exact copy of the original.
Yeah.
Or it's like, then they'll criticize it for being too similar, if it's too similar. They'll criticize it if it changes characters. There is no way to win.
But the studios even know that they're still going to make money. So it's like they take the critical, the bullshit. Because they know at least it's going to make money.
That's the thing with reboots and Lego sequels and stuff is like, even I just recently re-listened to our And Just Like That episode.
Yeah.
And we were talking about how like people were like, oh, I can't believe they broke up Steve and Miranda. You know, I can't believe there's like new conflict. And it's like, well, then there shouldn't be a new show if you don't want there to be new conflict. Like conflict is at the center of story.
Right.
Character development is at the center of story. You don't like that Luke is a different character now after 40 years have passed?
Yeah, right.
Like, what do you mean?
Right.
What? Then we don't have a movie.
It's so weird because it's an impossible question.
Yeah.
It's an impossible answer. You want new but old.
Right.
But if it's too...
But you don't want to be insulted by too much fan service, but you want just enough fan service.
Right. It's impossible to do. Like, I just... As we're recording this, the trailer for the Super Mario Brothers, and some people are hating on it, some people are loving it. A lot of people are saying Chris Pratt's voice. I'm one of them. Chris Pratt's voice just feels wrong because it looks... If it looked more different, I'd buy it. But they made the look so much like the game that you expect him to sound like he does in the game.
Yeah.
But look, there was an article in Gizmodo today, which I'll be honest, I didn't read the whole thing. I skipped through it. But it was I think the title was like, what do we want from a Mario movie? And that's the question you can ask all these things. What do you want from a Star Wars movie? Like, what do you want? Do you all want the same thing? And is it even possible?
Right.
What do you want from a Ghostbusters movie?
I think the worst thing that ever happened, not ever, but as far as this topic is concerned, it was a turning point, was Sonic's design being changed.
Yeah.
I think that set a precedent where fans now feel entitled.
Well, you could win. Your complaints could be right, listened to.
To win against creative decisions.
I would also put with that the Zack Snyder cut of Justice League.
Yes.
That was a big fan thing that the studio relented and actually released it. Yeah. And actually put more money into it to like fucking put on HBO Max.
Yeah.
Those are two examples of the outcry was listened to.
Which sounds like a good thing. But it's led to this...
But it's not politics. We're not talking about like the right to vote. We're talking about the way Sonic fucking looks.
But it's led to this thing where like the fans are like, you know, we're going to... Because Twitter is everything now. We're going to drag this shit on Twitter so hard that they're going to hear us. And I guess it's good. You know, it's giving voice to...
Yeah.
Well, I would say it's good if it's really amplifying the voices of everyone. But I feel like it's just amplifying the voices of a few.
Yes.
Who I hate agree. Everything.
Right.
So...
Or it's people that think they own it.
Yes.
Like, as much as I love Ghostbusters, I don't feel I own it. I don't feel like my opinion is more important. And, like...
Well, it's my childhood, so my opinion about it matters more than yours.
Actually, it was just a franchise I liked as a child. Right, my childhood was my parents.
Right, and, I know. It's crazy.
My school and my surroundings.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, this is like a corny thing to say, but like there were videos at the time, little girls running around with Ghostbusters toys that reminded me of being a kid running around with Ghostbusters toys and me thinking, what is my old ass? I'm supposed to like stop this kid? Like, good for her. Like, I, as a real fan, should love this, and I did love it, but someone who's like, who you want to stop that because it's not right?
I know. It's like all those those adorable videos of like those little black children watching the Little Mermaid trailer and saying like, you know, and they're not staged. You could tell they're genuine.
Right.
Where they're like delighted to see Ariel looks like them.
Right.
And it's like, you know, like, representation does matter. And, like, those little girls, like, didn't have a female Ghostbuster to look up to before that.
Right.
So it's,
you know, in fact, the only women in the movie were
objectified and...
or like, just the secretary that they make fun of.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, this has been Ghostbusters 2016 Answer the Call. Anthony, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me once again.
We end every episode by saying...
Go bye-bye.